Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chow, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. This is Gary Lee in your homes on a Tuesday night. A very big thank you to everybody that supports us. You know, we've been on the air now for 7 years, and we must be doing something right. But because of it, we have a very important group of people tonight. But I'm going to start off like I always do with my producer, Hanti Gestimowen. Are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
I'm so excited. As you know, we're going to get the ring out, and so it's just exciting. So go ahead and tell us what's going on with Jesse Bowen and what you're doing for America. What you got going on, sir?
Okay, sir. Great. Well, you know, I'm really excited. You know, we started talking about this, I guess, 8 or 9 months ago, and you know, and all of a sudden we just sort of made it happen, and I'm really excited about it. And you know, the things that we've been having success with in promoting the martial arts is really about sharing the legacy, the story about people and who they are and what they've done. You have a very unique group of people. I'm a history general, and you know, you have all these people that we don't know who they are. You know, for many of us coming in, if you're down in Texas, then you are a champion in Texas, but in North Carolina, I may not know you. You know, so what we've done and what we're working on as a project together is actually producing the history book for the Sport Karate Museum. It's the Sports General's history book, and we're actually creating a commemorative ring. And, you know, we've been working on this, and, you know, we've just got it together. We just got it up today. You can go to the website, and you can, you know, really, you can check out what the website is about. But we really want to bring about what the Sport Karate Museum is about. And if you go into the website, it's pretty simple. It's sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com. That's sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com. And there, you know, if you are, you have to, number one, you cannot purchase the ring unless you are a history general. Number two, you cannot be in the book unless you are a history general, or that Professor Gary Lee gives some form of special permission for you to actually to be there. But, you know, we really want to bring the Sport Karate Museum to life. Now, my first trip down to Texas, and, you know, I fell in love with Texas and the things that you're doing with the Sport Karate Museum. So I think this is a great time for all of those people that you have put in the book, all the connections. For 7 years, we've been running these people through the radio show and, you know, just getting a tidbit of who they are. The vision on this is that we create, you know, that history book that we now bring in those people, and now we begin to showcase these people. You know, these are the same people that you're actually bringing on the radio show. But, you know, to really to do something, we need something inspiring in this point of time, you know, in the history of not only the karate, but the history of the world. We need something that's true, that's, you know, and when you put it into the history book and it's been approved by you, sir, then it's truth. So people will have a place that they can know the truth about our real heroes in the past as we now build forward for those heroes in the future.
Well, that's exciting, and, you know, what's really exciting is the fact that, golly bum, Hunchy, I've been doing this 30 years, so I'm excited. After 30 years, we've come up with a ring that will accommodate, you know, people who are the history generals or you know, ambassadors and people that really care about the history. And I thank you so much, Hachi Bowen. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you, sir. Like I said, I can do anything as long as, you know, we're moving together, and what the AMAA Foundation and what you're doing and what we're doing is moving everything forward. We're not dragging pieces and parts. So we can do anything as long as we're moving everything forward.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for that information. Now, tell me, aren't you doing a podcast talking about mindset? What are you doing with that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we've really been busy on that end. We've been doing online seminars. So the podcast is The Power to Live Your Vision. And we've actually come out with a brand new online course, and we've written 2 e-books and a whole course of videos and stuff. The program is called True Vision. And True Vision is a mindset program that deals with not just the reading or listening, but it actually has the actual meditation exercises to go through to empower yourself. And the power to live your vision, you know, that's what we're really trying to talk about and to work with people on. The power to live your vision, it doesn't matter if you're in the midst of a pandemic or there's a bad hailstorm going on. The key element is when you're going through stuff is knowing how to keep going. And when you can reach the inside of yourself, that's where you have to make changes. Doesn't matter, you know, what's happening on the outside. You know, we've created the Zen Mind Body Meditation course. We're looking for instructors that would like to teach this in their school. We'll give it to them. If they join our organization, we'll give them the certification program to start teaching mindfulness training into their martial arts school. And a lot of people, you know, I don't find there's a lot of martial artists out there, but I'm not sure all of them are doing meditation. So we're going to give them a meditation course if they join our organization and certify them to teach mindfulness meditation in their school. You there, sir?
Sorry. I had it on mute. That's what we got to remind everybody. If you're not on the air, please mute your phone so there's no background noise. I appreciate it. I wanted to say thank you so much, Hachi Bowen, for what you've done for the museum and the belief that you have in sport karate. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited about that. It was Hachi Bowen, my producer. But now I'd like to introduce my co-host. AJ, are you there, my Yankee friend?
I am here. How are you?
Hey, buddy, we got a jam show tonight. And let me get the Wolverine. Wolverine, are you there? He's not.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. There he is.
I'm
well,
here.
Let me introduce you, animals. Okay. AJ Perry is my military spokesman. And he's a Tang Soo Do artist, lives in Ohio, and he's been around a long time. But he puts up with me every week, Mr. AJ Perry. Okay, AJ, you there, buddy?
I am here.
Okay,
how are you tonight?
Now, the other, my co-host.
By the way, Gary, those
stroke.
Are beautiful rings.
Oh, thank you, AJ. Helped me through my stroke, and he's kind of like the voice of what you want to hear all the time every week. And we have a 3 minutes with the Wolverine, but his real name is Dean Piles. Dean, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, buddy, we got a jam show tonight. So get ready. Get the Wolverine ready. We got something to talk about tonight. False rank. You ready?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm all over that. I'm all
okay.
over that.
We're going to have fun. Well, let me introduce my special info commercial gentleman tonight. He's going to be, before I introduce my special guest, he's my new friend. He's putting on the NASCAR tournament this weekend in New Braunfels. And Pat Worley and Larry Carnahan and John Worley, who run NASCAR, they kind of asked me to help him out a little bit. So I want to bring Nick on. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dr. Lee.
Well, no, please call me Gary. Tell me what's going on this weekend and what you got happening in New Braunfels, Texas, and bringing tournaments back to Texas, which is really exciting. But go ahead and tell us what's going on, Nick.
Well, this weekend we're having our fourth Cowboy Up, fourth annual Cowboy Up. And it's been a process that we've been working towards for about 10 years. I was approached about 10 years ago with my organization by Mike Sawyer with U.S. Open. And I've been traveling out there for about a decade and a half to help judge and officiate at that, you know, great event, great tournament. And I've been fortunate enough to be invited on the nighttime World Champion Finals panel as judges for about 10 out of the last 12 or 13 years. And they've been real hyped up about bringing NASCAR back to Texas, and I wanted to make sure I had ducks in a row and make sure my T's were crossed and I's were dotted. And we started really pursuing it once we hooked up with TKO. New seven TKO's been going on pretty strong in Texas for the last 7 years. And through meeting TKO and having our competition team travel and stuff, meeting a lot of the different voters, it really gave us a belief that there was a strong network of tournaments in Texas in a circuit that would support and be able to support a world-level event again. And, you know, there's been several different people who have done world-level events in Texas over the years, but we really feel that we're in a unique position with a staff of 60 black belts and pre-COVID student enrollment of about 1,200 students to have the wherewithal in conjunction with TKO to put on a world-class event in Texas and have it be one that sticks and be here for the duration. And this is our final eval year. We're doing a 3A NASCA 3A national tournament, and we've got Greg Roof from Babylana, Mike Sawyer from U.S. Open, Mohamed Jovan Vosh compete. I got several, you know, quite a few of the world tournament promoters with NASCAR that are going to be here, as well as the new president of PROMAC, Holly Hamm, and Joey Perry out of Arkansas. They're going to be here. And we'll be going through our final stage of evaluation. And we've got everything in a row, ready to rock and roll, get back to live competition. TKO's already had two tournaments this year here in Texas that are live. And we're doing a virtual tournament to go along with it for anybody that doesn't feel comfortable or is unable to travel. But we're expecting between 300 and 400 competitors at New Braunfels Convention Center this Friday and Saturday. And we're really trying to make this event a real pearl in the jewelry of martial arts around the United States, I guess you'd say. We're looking to bring some real notoriety back to Texas for hosting world-class events. And we've been pretty dry for quite a while. You know, we've had a few runs here.
Yes, we have.
But
now,
we haven't been
part
able
of the thing I'd like to do, Nick,
it.
is make sure that I know that, I don't know if you got me announcing or not, but please, I want you to make sure that you mention that we're going to do Kata Wars May the 8th. And the reason why I mention that is because, do you remember Tadashi Yamashita?
Yes, sir.
From the, you know Tadashi Yamashita, the movie, the ninja that played in Octagon with Chuck?
He's in Octagon with Chuck.
Roy Kervin, who invented the Fort Worth Pro-Am back in the 70s and 80s, we created what they call Kata Wars. You have to have 100 first places just to be invited. And if you can maybe mention Kata Wars at your event, I'd really appreciate it. That'd be May the 8th in Houston, the West Chase Marriott. But I got to ask you a couple questions, because as a black belt that competed all over the world, but I got to ask you, what are you giving away for
black belts? You know, we're a 3A, and 3As aren't required to give away cash money, but we are doing 250 in 10 different divisions. We're looking, you know, our best case scenario, we're hoping to have over 400 competitors, but the prospectus before COVID, you know, we were in line to have over 1,000 competitors, and with that many competitors, you know, your cash money is a lot higher. Once we go on the world stage, you know, our cash money given out to black belt winners, grands and overall grands, is going to be north of $10,000. But for right now, with a rebuild year, with everybody being lean and everything being tight, you know, we're still making sure we recognize the guys that earn the awards overall, and we're giving out $2,500 in cash and prize, you know, cash awards in the event, and then all of our grand champion, both under belts and black belts, as well as overall grand. We have real unique. We're real conscious about making sure everybody knows about the Cowboy Up. And we've got some handcrafted grand champion awards that are 13 and 16 inches wide. They're 100-year-old cypress barnwood that's been laser engraved, has a 6-inch square hand-tooled leather inset in it with our logo. It's trimmed around the edges and an actual National Finals Rodeo healing rope with a finished fennel end. And then it's supported and helped stand up by actual horseshoe from a work in Montana cattle ranch that serves as a tool. So it's really unique. It's really different. And we've got, you know, all of our actual division and division winners are getting first, second, and third place. They're big two-sided 5-inch medals, big heavy-duty medals, and they have our caricatures and logo on the back and logo up on the front of it. And it's, from what I've seen traveling around and being in so many of these world tournaments and stuff, I'll put our awards online with any of the world level events as far as being so very unique and artistic and being something that people would be proud to put up on their mantle up on their award shelf in their dojo or whatever. So, you know, we're just excited to have it finally kick off and get going again after the past year and a half of this mess, but, you know, year and 3 months we've all been dealing with COVID. And now that Texas governor has officially taken the mask off, hopefully on the 10th, things are going to continue to start getting better. But our goal is...
The other question I have for you now, you have separate kata divisions. You have Japanese, Korean, Okinawa. Are you going to separate the kata divisions?
Well, this year we're because most of our competitors are going to be coming from the Texas area, I am following the divisional breakdown of TKO more because probably about 75% of the competitors, and we are a TKO Triple Crown tournament. So just for convenience, we are going with more of the TKO divisions, which will have your creative and creative weapons, and then your creative, you know, they call it CMX. They put creative, musical, and extreme all together. And traditional. So it's like four kata divisions. Then you have your point sparring, you have continuous sparring, and team fights, as well as open black belt weight division fighting Friday night. And, you know, once we, when we're on the world tour next year, we will be doing full NASCA divisions, which break all that out. Also, TKO does recognize the Chinese.
Cool. I asked because my son actually is one of the number one kata guys in the TKO, and you know, I'm real excited about him coming to the event, and also my adopted son, Willie Hicks. They're real excited about being there. So, golly bum, one more question. Now, it's located at the new Braunfels Convention Center, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And what time is it going to start?
Friday night kicks off at 6 p.m., and Friday night, once again, you know, we've got demo and team sync forms, but then we also have open weight men's and women's black belt division sparring. Then we have black belt and underbelt team fights as well as continuous fighting. And then Saturday morning, we kick off early with a small inner school competition with a lot of my kids. And then we're breaking out the groups just because of COVID. You know, we're doing something different. It'd be the first time it's been tried with a TKO tournament, but we're trying to keep our numbers down and stay safe and allow us to have social distancing. So at 10 o'clock, we have our 9 and under children compete white to black their entire tournament. And they'll be released and free to go home or do whatever they want to do at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, we start with our 10, 11, 12, and 13-year-olds, and that'll be a complete tournament for those guys start to finish all the way through to the grand. And then around 2 or 2:30, we'll start with our 14 and up, including all the 18 and above adults. And that way people can come in, compete, keep the numbers down, keep it safe. And then when they're finished, they're through and they're free to go so that the next group can come in. And by doing a rotation.
Are you not having finals? Are you having finals?
We're not having a nighttime final show just because the logistics of seating and getting people and keeping our social distance,
right,
spacing from the COVID and then the restrictions.
What is the entry fee for black belts? What is the entry fee?
It's $50 and then $25 for each for the first division and $25 for each additional division. So it's a
cool,
along with the standings and TKO, it's a low cost tournament. And you know, that's once we go up on the world stage, it's gonna have to go up because just the nature of the beast when we start giving out that kind of prize money and the awards get nicer and nicer.
Yeah.
Which are pretty nice right now. I put them on par with anybody's, but I like making a statement with everything we do. And the biggest concern I have is making sure that what we do this weekend is one of the most well-run, organized, which we're known for running very organized tournaments in American society.
Well, congratulations on the event. But one more thing. What's it cost for spectators?
Spectators is $15 for the weekend.
Okay. That's what, you know, we talked earlier, and you're one of the new history journals, but I want to do something because I made some phone calls, and I got permission from the people that helped me do things, and this is what we're going to do for you. Your grand champion in Kata, whoever it is, they get we're going to pay their entry into Kata Wars. Now, like I said, Tadashi and Roy Kirby and I invented that 5 years ago, and you have to have 100 first places to be invited, or you have to be invited by Tadashi, Mr. Kirby, or myself. So your grand champion in Kata, they call me, and you confirm it. We'll take care of their entry fee, and they can be in Kata Wars as a special guest from your tournament. What do you think about that?
That'd be great. I think they'll really enjoy it. And
well, you gotta do one more thing for me, okay?
Sure.
If Joe Ahn comes to your tournament, you gotta hug him, okay? And that's important because Joe is one of your instructors, correct, from Miami?
Yes, sir. Joe Ahn, Hanshi Ahn is one of my
Is he gonna be friends there?
He is still trying to get his ticket. He was supposed to be there. Him and Arturo Espina were scheduled to be here, but Arturo got called in. You know, he works in the medical field, and he runs a heart-lung machine, and he had something come up to where he had to cancel at the last minute. But we're hoping Hanshi Joe will make it.
Well, if Joe can't make it, how about Mike Sawyer? Is he going to be there?
Yes, Mike Sawyer's confirmed he'll be here.
Well, you got to hug Mike Sawyer for me then because he's an old friend of mine.
I'll certainly do that.
That's cool. Okay, well, listen, I'm so excited for this weekend for you and for bringing NASCAR to Texas. Because, you know, we've had it through with Greg Beaver and Cobby Bum, Al Garza tried to do it in the 90s. And I want NASCAR to be in Texas. And if someone like you that really cares to make it happen, we're really, really excited. So this weekend in New Braunfels at the Convention Center, and how will they get in touch with you if they want to get involved with it?
The Cowboy Up website is just all one word, cowboyup-karate.com.
Cool. Well,
cowboyup-karate. Sure.
Okay.
Appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to be talking after your tournament because I think your partner, Woody, is that his name, Woody?
Yes, Woody Thompson.
Yes, sir. We're going to make Woody part of the museum. But you make sure that you mention about Kata Wars May the 8th, and your grand champion in Kata, we'll take care of the entry at the Kata Wars. Cool.
Okay.
So appreciate it so much, and God bless you, Nick. Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a great one.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. Hey, AJ, what do you think, man? You gonna come to Ohio, to Texas, and compete in the Cowboy Up?
I'd love to. I'll tell you, it sounds like he's really got that organized well.
Well, it's going to be a great event, and, you know, we want to support him because, you know, we're friends with John Worley and Pat and Larry Carnahan, the NASCAR boys. We really care about them. So, anyway, my special guest tonight is on the line. I want to introduce him. Golly Bum, he came to me from Daniel Baker, and he went, you know, he came to me as a black belt under Daniel, but he wanted to make black belt under me. So, we had one of the biggest tests in the country. We have 5 different tables, and one table was Alan's, and he tested for black belt at the event, And that was a long time ago, but, you know, he's always been a big part of my life, and now he's a detective, a homicide detective in Western Texas, and I've got him on the air. Alan, are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. How are you tonight, Gary? You doing okay?
Hey, how are you doing, Alan? It's so good to have you on the air, and thank you for taking time from, you know, taking care of crime to be on the air tonight. It really means a lot.
Oh, you bet, man. It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Say hello to Alan.
How you doing?
Hey, guys, how are y'all doing? It's good to be here.
Alan, he's a Yankee, so you got to excuse him a little bit. And Dean's knocking people out. He's knocking people out, so he'll be on the air in a minute. But listen, Alan, you started with Daniel Baker, correct?
Yeah, I started back in 1981. I was training up in Southwest Texas with Baker, and I was up there for about 5 or 6 years, and then I graduated and moved back down here to Texas, back down here to Houston area, and kind of funny because I was looking for a Hawaiian style because at the time Dan was teaching Kajikimbo, which is an offshoot Hawaiian style, and I found your name in the phone book, Gary. Under Hawaiian karate.
Yeah, I used to be in the phone book a long time ago. But
yeah, remember what phone book?
I was looking for somebody to just bang with. You, the test I set up for you back in the day, it was the largest test probably in America. How do you feel about what you went through, or I put you through?
That was a rough test, man. That took me out.
Tell me about what your sister said, because she never seen you do karate before, had she?
No, it's kind of funny. They knew I'd been in karate for a while, but they never, you know, they never really paid much attention. They'd go to a few, you know, they'd watch me spar and they'd watch me do, you know, kata and that's all nice and fun. But they never really seen me get the hell beat out of me before. But Gary, I wouldn't trade that for anything, because I'll tell you what, I'm not sure if that's one of your topics tonight, but you know what, I think if you get a black belt, you should earn it. I hope I earned mine. that was a lot of fun. A lot of guys that showed up that I trained with before, showed up. Dan showed up, and all of his crew showed up, and it was a lot of fun. It really was.
Then we had a luau, remember? We had a luau after the test.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you watched Garrett grow up, too, and you actually fought him in a tournament at Zendokai. I believe it was the Karate Safety America, and you had a war with my son. But you watched
Garrett it was one of Chris Yeager's tournament, and I watched Garrett grow up from the time he could walk running around on your mat with the pink walls in your dojo with the pink walls, and Garrett's running around with a pair of plastic nunchucks in his hand trying to hit everybody.
That's right.
And he has turned out to be a beast. I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah, he has.
You should be proud of your son. He's a good guy.
I'm real proud of him. I'm proud of you. Now, when did you decide to go into law enforcement? Because I know you did various, you know, things in your life, but, you know, you decided to become a law enforcement officer a few years back, and now you're actually a homicide detective in Webster, Texas. So tell me, when did you decide to become a law enforcement?
It was in 2004, I think. I'd been in the restaurant business for 18 years, and I got burned out, and I've always wanted to be a cop. I always wanted to just do something to make a difference, and so I was done with restaurants, and I thought, you know what, man, I'm gonna go out on a limb and try something I really want to do, because you only live once. So I'll be darned if Webster didn't hire me. And I was 42 years old at the time, and I went through the academy, made it through, and I've been with Webster now for about 17 years. And what's really cool about it is when They found out that I was in martial arts. They made me their defensive tactics instructor. And so what better job to have than to teach police officers self-defense and pass on my knowledge to police officers to not only save their own life, but to keep them out of trouble as far as, and we all know, we've all seen the news. Cops are in the news every day about use of force. And so my job is to make sure that they do it right and they're not on the news. That's what I think.
Yeah, you also trained with a good friend of mine, Chris Yeager. Now he's in Deer Park, Texas. Now, how long did you train with Chris?
Man, I can't remember. Probably about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. I've been training with him off and on. I would get hurt and I'd drop out for a while and I'd go back. Yeager's teaching combat Hapkido, and so that kind of fit in with what
I
teach.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of fits in with what I teach at the police department. It's a lot of submission techniques, and it's really important. These submission techniques are really, really useful on the street as a police officer. There's so many people now that are coming up, these kids that are coming up that have never been in a fight. You know, they don't know what and we all know what a real fight is and the stress that goes along with it. Well, a lot of these kids are coming up now and they've never had anybody lay a hand on them. And on the street, you know, it's on the street, it's for real. And if you don't practice it, you know, you lose it. And so it's important to teach these guys how to handle the stress of being in a fight and being in a combat situation and how to handle themselves without unnecessarily hurting somebody else. You know,
that's the reason. That's the reason they started Marine Corps martial arts in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Was because they were getting young recruits in who'd never been whacked or ever been in a fight. So started training them.
It's really important. A lot of these guys come up, man, and they get in a stressful situation and they don't know how to use their hands. You know, they don't know how to. And so they go to the flashlight and they start beating people or they hurt people unnecessarily.
Right.
And so I try to incorporate what I've learned and teach them how to handle people and how to gain compliance without, number one, getting themselves hurt and then, of course, not hurting the person that they're dealing with if it's not necessary.
A few years ago when we had the museum in Pasadena, You donated something very special, some artwork in Japanese stuff that you accumulated. Tell me about that a little bit.
Oh yeah. Well, my dad was in World War II. He went over to Normandy, and then after that they shipped him off to Korea for the Korean War, and he was Corps of Engineers, and he was put in charge of building the Allied Command Center over there. In Japan. And so he moved my mom and my sisters over there to Japan. So they lived in Japan for quite a few years. And they brought back a lot of woodblock prints and screen art, cloisonné vases, just all kinds of Japanese art. And so I grew up with all that stuff in my house, and I got to be really fond of Japanese art. And so I had a lot of them because they had collected a lot of Japanese art. And so, yeah, man, you know, I thought what a better place to have it hang than in the Korea Museum, you know?
Beautiful. Now, this is called Parts Unknown. We've done this show for 7 years. And the one reason it's called Parts Unknown is because I ask questions that maybe people would either like to hear or wouldn't ask. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, Al, okay?
Okay.
What's the hairiest situation you've been in since you've been a police officer?
What's that now?
What's the hairiest position you've ever been since you've been a police officer? confrontation. I say hairy, but I mean confrontation.
The physical confrontation, probably, man.
Yeah, the hairiest confrontation where you thought maybe you had to do something real serious. I mean, I know you have a serious job, but what's the hairiest position you've ever been in? Well, you had to use karate.
Oh, okay. Well, we here at Webster, we're kind of a small city, mostly commercial. So we have our own jail, and the police officers, we don't have jailers. The police officers are the jailers as well. So when we arrest somebody, we have to bring them in, and we have to book them in the jail, and we have to put them in the cell. And, you know, as you can imagine, a lot of the people that come in are not in their right mind. And I had a guy that, pretty much told me that he wasn't gonna go in the cell, and so I had to when he tried to grab me, I had to put him on the ground. And when I, in doing so, he started to tussle with me. Unfortunately, I dislocated his arm in the struggle because I was by myself. And I couldn't. We have panic buttons, and I couldn't get to the panic button in time because I had to deal with him. And it was
now,
a little scary.
Tell me about the panic button. What is that? Is there a button that will call the other officers?
Yes. Oh yeah. It calls the cavalry in to the jail.
Okay.
They know there's a problem in the jail when that buzzer goes off. So yeah, it was, you know, it was a little scary for me because I'd only been there 5 years, and I was still on night shift, and this guy was a little bit bigger than I was. And when he turned on me, it was almost instinct. And, you know, I felt bad after I did it, but then I didn't because I was safe. So that was a little scary. You know, I've had to use it a lot of other times. I use that Hapkido a lot. And not that I hurt people, but most people that we deal with are pretty compliant for the most part, you know.
Now,
I'll
ask you another question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. In the state of what's going on in America now, and police officers in general are getting a bad rap, I'll just say it. And they're getting accused of a lot of crazy stuff. Now, Are you changing your tactics a little bit? Are you still being who you have to be to deal with all this bad stuff?
Well,
that the press is giving the cops?
We, you know, police officers have one job, and that's to arrest and detain. And we don't really have tools to do that. I mean, we have our, you know, we're given several weapons. We have your ass baton, and you have a gun, and you have pepper spray, and you have a taser, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, we still have to arrest somebody and take them to jail. And what people don't understand is that we have to do that no matter what. And even though people don't understand how as martial artists, we understand that it's not like it is on TV. It's not like it is in the movies.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
It's a lot harder than it looks. And sometimes,
yeah,
to gain compliance, you have to do things that don't look right. And cops have a bad rap because, you know, on TV, I promise you, you only see part of the story. And there's always another side that people don't know about. For the most part,
well,
cops are good. But there are some bad ones out
media,
there.
A lot of times the media doesn't want the other people to know about the other side of the story.
Oh, you're right. Cause
you know, they just want to see one side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like it to be sensational, and that's what feeds that sensationalism is bad cops. Everybody wants to hear about the bad cop.
Well, you're a good cop, and you got to promise me something that you always wear your vest, right?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir, every day.
Because I think about you a lot, Alan. I think about you a lot. Now, listen, don't go nowhere because I'll bring you right back. We're going to play the Legends name game. This is where I say a name
okay.
to you. And you got 2 minutes
all right.
to talk about that person. And then, you know, we'll go on. We'll talk about the museum a little bit more. But don't go nowhere because I got to take a little break, okay?
You got it, man. You got it, Gary.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. How are you doing?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've got Dr. Reginald Lee on the line, and he is, well, he's my cohort. he's invented a hologram that will attack you in virtual reality, but for him to explain it is much more clear because he understands it. He invented it along with a couple other people, so he's going to talk about the virtual reality hologram, as we call it, setvr.app. Dr. Reginald Lee, how you doing, Reggie?
Good, good, good. Very good. How are you doing today?
Good. You staying safe? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Lee is not someone just put a DR in front of his name. He's a real doctor, and he's dealing with COVID, and he is on the front line. So God bless you, Reggie, for all you doing what you're doing. So talk about SetVR a little bit. What's going on with the virtual reality program?
Yes, my partner, my marketing director, my developers, and I are excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training, virtual reality. It's a platform whereby you can practice your skills in self-defense whenever, wherever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere you travel. And even during a pandemic, as we're experiencing right now with COVID, you can continue to practice while practicing social distancing. With the use of an Oculus Rift or an Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements to avoid and to place you in an opportunistic position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing and accuracy and to develop muscle memory and subsequently to develop a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus, to neutralize without hesitation as you would and when you place your hand on a hot stove, you create a reflex response removing your hand, or when your doctor taps you on the knee and you create a knee jerk, that is a reflex response. And that's what we're trying to develop with SetVR, to develop a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. This is a platform whereby you can practice and utilize what you've been taught in techniques and katas and forms in your schools in a program for application against a threat or a stimulus that is random and, as I mentioned earlier, to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We'll plan to have future updates with our programs with multiple attackers, home invasion, a barroom setting, and even in a war zone. SetVR will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We recently updated our program with kicking and kicking-punching combinations and also with knife attacks. As you know, with knife attacks are very, very dangerous close and up front. So we have implemented that program in SetVR where you can practice against knife attacks. We plan to have future updates with random virtual matches. Say Professor Gary Lee can have virtual matches with either AJ, Wolverine, or Jesse Bowen in different parts of the country or even different parts of the world where they can practice their skills in neutralization and learn from each other. We've implemented metrics that will record the number of successful punches, number of blocks, number of evasions to determine whether you're right or left side dominant and to record endurance as time spent in the experience. You'll be able to learn the importance of creating a diversion when you grasp the attacker's arms or wrists to create a 1 to 3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We implemented a program of mindfulness, stretching, meditation, and exercise, and we'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app, S-E-T-V-R.app. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and Sports Karate Museum to be this future platform for his vision of the history portal. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some few words about your vision about the history portal.
Well, I'm excited about it because we're going to create a program that will be used by what they call the Oculus Quest 2. Now, this is a headset that's very inexpensive compared to what virtual reality used to be. But you can imagine, say, a village. And this village is a storefront village where there'll be swords and clothing and vitamins, whatever, to be sold there. But as you go into each store, you'll be learning educational process of what sport karate did in America. Like, who is Chuck Norris? Who is Dean LaBelle? What is the difference of Tang-Soo-Do and Taekwondo? What is the difference of Gung Fu and Kung Fu? Whatever, you're going to get educated. Eventually, you walk out to a forest where there's tigers and bears and lions and waterfalls or whatever. The atmosphere is going to be amazing. But then the hologram will appear, and you will have to defeat it. And as you defeat it, I will appear. And I'll say, okay, Alan Brasher, are you educated? And Alan will, you know, he's been in working, he's got all the questions, and I'll look in his backpack and I'll say, Alan, I'm sorry, you have to go back. So Alan has to go back and get smarter. He has to learn more and more and more about sport karate and how the Asian influence came to America and created sport karate. And then the hologram will appear again. This time it will be a samurai. And the samurai will have a katana, a wakizashi, and a tanto, a knife. And you have to defeat it with Okinawa weapons, like a nunchuck or a sai or a tampa or a bow. And you'll be learning the difference between Japanese weapons presented by a samurai and Okinawa kabuto that was developed in Okinawa. And then I'll appear again. And I'll say, okay, Alan, are you educated? This time you are. You've answered all the questions. We're going to start with about 50 questions and work up as we get smarter and smarter. And then Alan has done it. He has answered and learned all the questions. I will take his hand. I will lead him to a gate. The gate will open up, and there will be the History General portals. Now, this is a portal that you can walk in and learn everything there is about certain History Generals. In fact, we're going to start with the cream of the crop. J. Pat Burleson, Alan Steen, Mike Stone, Karen Eden Herdman, Patrick McCarthy, I mean, Rick Wigsman, rest in peace, Jim Harrison, rest in peace. But we're going to start with the original pioneers of martial arts to help create it in America. And then eventually, every history general that's been supportive of the museum for all these years, 30 years, will put them in there. So this is exciting to be able to teach and educate people and teach people about setvr.app. So in the if you want to look at the demo, guys, just go to your computer and type in setvr.app. That's setvr.app. Now, Reggie, I want you to be careful out there, okay, because I know you're out there on the front lines in the hospitals, and I appreciate all you do and what you've done. And every week I have you on the air so we can talk to people about VR and what we're doing. So every week there's always a bit of new information. So, Reggie, take care, buddy, and God bless you, buddy. And by the way, I got you on the phone. By the way, you're getting the presidential award this year, May 8th, at the Kata War event that we're honoring Gina Norris and Mr. Al Garza. So congratulations on that, Reggie. You and Rick Shanahan are given that President Award for the community service that you guys do. And I really appreciate you so much, Reggie. I really do.
Thank you, sir, for having us on the show. Thank you so much for the awards.
Well,
we appreciate it.
You know, I just, I enjoy the time with you, and I understand that you really care. So God bless you, Reggie. God bless you. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Alan, are you there? Alan Brasher?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, before I bring you back on, I've got 3 minutes with the Wolverine. This is a fun segment. So, Wolverine, are you there? He's knocking people out.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, tonight's topic with the Wolverine is false rank or high rank false rank. These guys that walk around, okay, don't get me started, but this is your time. But you got these grandmasters that say in Taekwondo wearing a red belt with stripes on it. Well, a red belt is from being Japanese, sort of being a hanchi or a, you know, the highest rank in Japanese karate. And then you got stripes on their belt, which is kempo. Go figure. But anyway, 3 minutes with the Wolverine. Go ahead, Wolverine.
Well, what normally happens is people want an ego rank. So that's all it is. It's about ego and not about technique. And, you know, years and years ago, this is back in the 90s, I was on Channel 12 News on the Sports Corner. I don't know if you remember that episode, but the guy would they had the Sports Corner, and they would, you know, talk to athletes, basketball players, baseball players, you know. So I was on there, and they was talking about ranks. And I said, look, I don't care if you've got a certificate as big as a tractor and trailer. If you cannot demonstrate good technique to me, I don't care what your rank is. It doesn't matter. But see, these people think that by some reason that if they get ranked, they're going to elevate all of a sudden, and awesome skill sets are just going to, you know, just all of a sudden start flooding into their body and their mind and make them good. But no, what that does is it just gives them a rank so that when they get took off of their feet or they lose to somebody that's a lower rank, you know, it just makes them look worse. Like, I know a lot of you guys, I've had this happen. Somebody that's not working toward their black belt, they're not working, and you're telling them, you know, they're going, when can I get a black belt? And you're saying, you got to work, you know, and they just don't get it. And then they quit, go to the school down the road, and they give them a second-degree black belt because you've actually trained them pretty good. So the guy down the road, he hands out belts. He gives him a second-degree black belt. Now, is that guy a second-degree black belt or not? No, he's not, because he went to a lesser place. Then they just start self-ranking themselves. Like, I know a guy that over COVID, while there was no competition going on, ended up claiming he won 5 world titles and created his own style after all.
Wolverine, let me tell you a really funny story. I don't think I've ever told you this. By the way, Dean Piles comes from Joe Louis, so he does know what he's talking about. But I got to tell you a funny story, Wolverine. This is funny. It was the early 80s, and I'm working out at Edward Sons Dojo, which is a ninjutsu dojo. And he allowed me to go there and work out bare knuckle and fight all his people, which was cool. But I walked in one night. It was pouring down rain, and this guy walked up to me, and he had a belt on. And one side it was 6 stripes, on the other side it was 7 stripes. And he had taken a knife and he had cut the belt to make it look like it was old, you know, like our belts that we wear all the time and they're all stringy or whatever. He cut it. It looked like you could tell he cut it with a knife. And I walked up to him, Wolverine. I said, "Are you a 13th degree black belt? So you got 6 stripes on one side and 7 on the other?" And then I'll be honest with you, I got pissed. I saw the belt, and I said, "Look, buddy, I can tell that you cut it with a knife, and I'm just telling you what I did, Wolverine. I got in a low kibudashi, a horse stance, drew my right fist back to my hip, and I took off my left hand. I took off his belt, and I literally took it off and threw it out in the mud, and I'll tell you what happened after the show, what happened afterwards, but still, I mean, a 13th degree black belt. You ever met a 13th degree black belt before?
Yes, I have. Actually, when I went, when they was doing the contracts for to see who was training the military, they brought in a guy from Japan that trains under that last ninja guy from Japan. That he's like 98 years old right now. People go do tours at his facility, but he's supposed to be the last original ninja. But this guy, they said, this guy's a 13th degree black belt. And asked me, what did I think about that? And I was like,
okay,
well, I think it's horse crap.
Well,
you know,
Hey, Gary.
One strike, six strikes. Okay, AJ.
Gary, let me talk. Shut up, Gary. Let me talk. My turn. You
know, we'll bring Jap Slap AJ, please.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead,
I agree with Dean 100%. You know, there's some of the best people you ever met in your life in martial arts, and then there's the whole other end of the spectrum. You know, sometimes martial arts attracts people who weren't very good athletes or had really low self-esteem and just maybe had a bad life. And when they start getting a little bit of rank, it starts, you know, building up their self-esteem a little bit. And other people, it goes way out on the other end of the spectrum where they become egomaniacs. And
yeah.
And I think that's where the problem arises. It goes to people's
heads, you know,
and they start believing their own BS.
You're exactly right. But, you know, I was at a competition, and Joe Louis gave me a black belt, and, you know, a long time ago. I don't tell people where we went from there, what rank I got to, because it's nobody's business but mine. I mean, I'll tell Professor and people like AJ, but the thing of it is I still have that belt. It still has no stripes on it. Now, I was at a competition up in Washington, D.C., and this is a big NASCAR competition. And so I'm competing in kata. I had the black belt on with no stripes on it. Okay, this is my first year competing in NASCAR. So I'm competing against some guys, which, by the way, even so, at the end of the year, I still won the world title. But at this particular competition, they placed me really low because the center judge called a little meeting right before they started, and he scored me lower. So when everything got done, I asked him, I said, why did you score me lower? Because, you know, a lot of people, there was a lot of boos coming from the crowd. And you don't hear that very often in karate competition. His exact words to me was, look at your belt. I looked at my belt. I said, yeah, it's a black belt. He said, yeah, now look at their belt. You see how many stripes they got on their belt? They outrank you. This happened in front of Jerry Fontanez. He said, they outrank you. Jerry Fontanez stepped up and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. They outrank Wolverine? And he was like, no. He outranked them. Where's his stripes? He said, he don't have those stripes on his belt. There's no room for stripes on the belt. That judge was judging and giving people the places. So first place went to whoever had the most notches on their belt. Second place went to the second guy. Third place went to the – do you see what he did? He tried to place people according to where he thought their rank was, not where their skill sets were. But that's why these people, they try to inflate their rank because they need to inflate their egos a lot of times because – I'm just going to say it. They're beta males and they suck. They don't have good skills. They can't win first place. So they want to make everybody think they're a big high rank and inflate their rank to make everybody think, oh, man, that guy's really awesome. That guy's really solid.
Well, thank you, Wolverine.
Wolverine, calm down.
Listen, I appreciate your opinion and the 3 minutes talking about rank and everything. And AJ, I appreciate your opinion, but here's what we got to do, guys. We got to keep our head up, and when we go to competition, no matter what, how many stripes they got on their belt or whatever false impressions they have, it's all about respect and how they earn it. So God bless you guys. And by the way, Wolverine, you know I've got Joe Lewis's original black belt that he gave Jerry Smith, and it has no stripes on it. It's old and tattered, but you know,
right. Mine has no stripes on it, and Grandmaster Lewis took it right off my waist and slapped me in the chest with it. And he slapped me really hard, too, by the way. But he did that a lot anyway.
That's cool. Well, listen, guys, we talk 3 minutes with the Wolverine every week on topics and subjects that maybe people don't want to talk about. But we talk about them, and I'm real excited about it. So, Wolverine, thank you so much for your 3 minutes. And next week we'll have another great topic, and I'm looking forward to talking about whatever we talk about, sir. God bless you.
God bless.
Okay. Okay, Alan, are you there? Mr. Bracer?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm here.
That was the Wolverine and my Yankee friend, AJ. They're kind of crazy, aren't they? I mean, think about this for a minute. You got a crazy Hawaiian, a Yankee cracker and a redneck Southern boy.
And I'm glad you didn't forget that. Glad you didn't forget that, Gary.
Well, I would never forget. You're a Yankee cracker. I won't ever forget that, buddy.
Well, you know what? You're a displaced cracker Yankee. You didn't spend a lot of time up here in Ohio.
I spent time in Ohio, but I hated it because of all the snow and how cold it was. But, you know, I forgive you, AJ, being a Yankee. I do. I forgive it. I'm sure Wolverine does, too. So, anyway, Alan Brasher, are you there?
Yes, sir.
They're kind of crazy, aren't they?
Yeah, but I tell you what, they speak the truth.
Yeah, but we have fun. So anyway, we're going to play the Legends name game now. This is where I'm going to say a couple names. And whether you know them, met them, or you're best friends with them, or you hate them, you get to talk about them for about 2 minutes, and I'll hit you with some names. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Chuck Norris.
Wow. Legend. Let's start with that. Definitely a pioneer in the sport. Has all my respect. That man's a real deal.
Very good. Okay, how about we talked about him earlier, Chris Yeager out at Deer Park.
Okay, Chris Yeager, he's I've been training with him for a while. I can tell you that Chris is a technician. His technique is like no other. He has made me focus on not just on mastering different techniques and what's behind those techniques and what the outcome is. Excellent instructor.
Cool. Okay. Someone you might know a little bit, Professor Gary Lee. What about him?
Oh, let's start off with Beast. How about that?
With what?
A beast.
Oh, a beast.
An animal.
You hear the AJ? I had a guy call me a beast. Don't forget that now.
I thought he said a beak.
Oh, no, he probably did.
Yeah, like an animal. No,
like
Gary,
an animal.
I tell you what, Gary, you're a hard hitter. I can tell you that from experience. You taught me one thing, Gary. You taught me how to fight hard and not give up.
I appreciate that, but I was just scrappy. I wasn't that good. I was coaching.
Yeah, tell us what you really think now, Al. Al, tell us what you really think now.
Yeah. No, Gary, man, you know I love you, man.
You
were there for me in a time when you took me in to your school when I was at a low point in my life, man, and you picked me up and gave me a purpose, and you set me on the right track, brother. I appreciate that.
Well, I
love you.
That. It means a lot. And you know, guys, don't forget Cotta Wars, May the 7th and 8th at the West Chase Marriott in Houston, Texas, and it's the best of the best. And we'll also be honoring Mr. Al Garza and Gina Norris, Mr. Chuck Norris's wife, who all the work that she does for kids in Kickstart. But for more information about Cotta Wars and the event, the roast, you can call me at 713-483-0476. And that will tell you all the information about the event that's coming up May 7th and May 8th. Also, we're going to have a Night of the Masters on Friday night with Tyree Cassell, Robert Hartfield, James Cook. And we got some special surprises on Friday night at the Night of the Masters. So more information, please call 713-483-0476 to get your tickets. And Al, I appreciate you being on the show tonight so much, but I want to kind of end this up with how important is the Sport Karate Museum and the history that I've accumulated for these 30 years. How important is it to you?
Oh, you're talking to me, Gary?
Yes. I'm asking Alan Bracer, how important
okay.
is the Fort Clyde Museum to you?
Well, it's very important, Gary. I tell you what, you've done a great job putting the years of experience and the years of the pioneers of sport karate in one place, so that people that are coming up in the sport now can look back and learn about these people who formed this sport and who are the pioneers of this sport. It's huge. You explore all facets of sport karate as well.
Now, in Pasadena, we had the museum in Pasadena. You actually toured it, and you got pieces in there. It's overwhelming, isn't it, with all that stuff in those rooms, wasn't it? It was pretty crazy.
Oh, it is. I could spend all day in there looking at that stuff. You got some incredible stuff, you know, absolutely incredible from legends.
Well, you know what? The other day I was going through some stuff, and I've actually got the bullet that Chuck shot J. Pat Bergson with on Texas Walker Ranger. Now, that's crazy, isn't it? And are you ready, Alan? I've got Joe Lewis's, Ronald Duncan's, June Reed's, Mike Stone, Jim Harrison's black belt, Michael Goldman, Bruce Grucci. I mean, you know, and I say this, and not bragging, but I say that these guys could give it to their sons or their daughters or their family, but they trusted me, you know, and they, you know, that's so important to me, you know, because people trust, you know, what I've done, and that means a lot. So thank you for being on the show tonight, Alan, and, you know, I want you to stay
on,
Gary. Because I want you to get a ring, and I'm going to bring Jesse back on, and he's going to explain the details about getting the ring. Jesse Bowen?
Nice job, Al.
Hey, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I want to bring you on because I wanted you to kind of talk about more details about the ring. Go ahead, sir.
All right, great. Great, sir. Well, yeah, the webpage is up. You can actually place orders for the ring, and you have two options. Number one, you know, we really want everyone to share their biography in the book. So right now, sir, for this rest of this week, you know, if the next, you know, 10 people that show up and they decide to purchase a ring, then they automatically will give them a half-page bio in the book. So the book is a subscription. It's not a mandatory thing, but it's a place for, you know, your group and organization. You've done so much. Then, you know, I really think that people really want to have their names associated with what you are doing and what you've done. So I'm really excited. You know, we've been doing the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers book, which has been an award-winning book. This book, you know, we're going to have it. We've just signed with another company that actually distributes to libraries. It goes into their catalog. So what I envision is that, you know, that the History General book, you know, that this Legends book will actually be in libraries that people can go back and, you know, especially, you know, sport karate is a very unique topic. I don't see a lot of stuff out there on sport karate. You know, the magazines, you know, they don't cover it. We don't find anything up to date. So what I'm looking to do is to create one of the best in the world's finest book that represents the Sport Karate Museum, and one that, you know, people will enjoy sharing with their students, sharing with their families, sharing with their friends. You know, this type of things of history and who we are and being public and being in publications are things we share with our grandkids. You know, so that's what we're looking to create. And I really want to encourage, you know, all the guys and ladies out there that have been in support for Professor Gary Lee to be a part of this, because again, you know, this is going to come out right now. We're scheduling for the Ring students, everything to come out in October to be a part of his event, the book release. So, but this is that time, you know, get it now and you know, make it happen. Because, again, sir, just like tonight, you know, you got a lot of great people, and the show has done a lot to promote them, but the book will do even – it's a lifetime thing. When once you're written into this book, you are an official part of Fort Riley history.
Well, I'm excited, and, you know, just for a couple more pumps, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you to say that website one more time, and for anybody who would like to inquire about it, just give me a call at 713-483-0476. Now, Hansi, say one more time the website they can go to and your phone number.
Okay, the website is Sport Karate HistoryBook.com.
Okay, and your phone number, anybody wants to learn more about my
919-618-8075. And I'm going to post it on your website a little bit. Like, I'm still working on the website and everything, but I'm going to post it on your website just a little bit.
Well, thank you so much. What a great show tonight. And thank you, Alan Brasher and Nick from NASCA, and of course, my great co-host, Dean Piles and AJ Perry. And of course, Dr. Lee and the SetVR.app. We're just, seems like we're getting better and better every week. And it's just practice, 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 practice. And as we always say every week, God bless you guys. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.